I'm Adam.
And I'm Meg.
And we're going to watch Better Call Saul.
In the order that it was broadcast.
Forward Call Saul.
Just a podcast. Podcast. This is a podcast.
Podcast. Welcome back, everyone.
Hello to all of our loyal listeners and our new listeners.
Yeah, we took a little longer of a break than we meant to, and we apologize. Also, fuck you. It'll come out when it comes out.
There's lots of people, they take, like, time in between their seasons. Not mm-hmm. us. We powered mm-hmm. through. We had an uninterrupted 62-week first run, and we mm-hmm. took a little time for ourselves.
Meg, 63 weeks. We had El Camino in there.
Oh, God, you're right.
There's 63 hours of audio out there.
There's more talking. Than 63 hours. There's more like 67, I bet.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, this is Forwards Call Saul. It's different.
It's because we're watching it the right way.
And that's because it's not over yet. And I want people to, and also less people have watched the show, and I just want people to watch it. And so you can watch it with us. When we asked you to watch the last show backwards, that was an ask. This isn't an ask.
Basically, yeah, it's just watching it the natural way you'd watch it. So there's really no catch here other than, like, enjoy something with us. I still mm-hmm. haven't seen this. So, yeah. And Adam has, so there you go. I do think we should watch Sex and the City backwards at some point.
Okay.
I think it might be fun. Or just at all. Or just on drugs. Or just anything.
If I did Sex and the City, I'd just want to bunch them all together. I wouldn't want to do one episode per episode, if that makes sense.
Because
they're short, right?
I don't know how. It's not like they're like Tex Avery cartoons. They're at least like half hours, I guess.
Yeah, that's pretty short.
Yeah, so you'd want to watch like two at a time or something?
Two, yeah.
Four at a time?
Five at a time.
Nine at a time?
Possibly.
Okay.
Just make a day of it.
Okay. Ooh.
Yeah. So we're a little delayed because first off, I moved. And then second off, we had watched an episode and then Bob Odenkirk almost fucking died. And so we're like, maybe we'll hold back.
We love him and wanted to just suss out the situation.
Maybe ease up before we talk about piss and cum. And then we get a sad headline and we're like, uh-oh, shouldn't have released that.
Yeah. Yeah, that really would have been a bad.
That would have been bad.
That would have been bad.
We touched that stove during the coronavirus early days.
And it's due to our flippantness that mm-hmm. it got as bad as it did, because I'm sure a lot of the listeners, because this is a universally beloved podcast, just mm-hmm. saw how we were being jokey little assholes and mm-hmm. decided not to wear their masks or whatever.
I wonder if Matt Gaetz listens to this podcast.
Oh my
I hope
God.
He doesn't.
I hope he doesn't. That's one view. Oh, my God. Mary fuck kill Matt Gaetz. Sorry. I was texting Adam that question with like Matt Gaetz, Jim Jordan, and fucking who else?
You gave me Mitch McConnell, Rand Paul, and Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, so Matt Gaetz, Ted Cruz, and Jim Jordan.
That's my new one.
Yeah.
Okay. That's hard.
Yeah, no, they're all fucking terrible.
I'd kill Ted Cruz.
Oh my God, yeah, you would.
Because I think of the three, Matt Gaetz is the most handsome. Just by default.
Yeah, but he also is a pedo.
I have to pick of the three. I'm not allowed to say none of them. I don't like it when people ask this question like, ew, I couldn't do it. That the point of the question is that it's hard.
Yeah.
So I guess, okay, I'm killing Ted Cruz. I guess I'm married Jim Jordan. He seems like the most husbandy.
He does.
And I'd fuck Matt Gaetz, I suppose.
I think Jim Jordan would be least likely to cheat on you of those three.
He's just aggressive.
Yeah, but I think, like, he's aggressive in, like, the way Hank is. I don't know. No.
Yeah.
I will say this about... Can we go back to Breaking Bad just for a second?
Sure.
I thought about how Hank dealt with his PTSD, and I thought they did that really well.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Cool. I had been talking about this. I had to read a pilot recently that dealt with cops and the death of, like, a bad person in the pilot. And the guy was a little bit cavalier about the fact that he had, like, killed somebody who was a bad guy. Uh-huh. And it's interesting how, like, Hank knows he kills bad people, but it still fucks with him. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was well done. It came up like as an example of like a realistic portrayal of how that stuff like bothers people in law enforcement. And I think that, I don't know, I think it's like something that I'm mad I never noticed before how well they did it. And I'm sorry I'm bringing it up.
You noticed it when we were watching it. You thought it was good.
I know, but I have like a deeper appreciation for it now after reading something where I guess clearly someone who had not experienced what that's like. Because like, I don't know. It's, we can cut
this
part.
That's a good transition because he gets PTSD for killing Tuco. And who do we see in this episode, this first episode?
We get a little bit of baby Tuco.
We get a little taste of Tuco, a little taste of the Tukes. Yeah, so Better Call Saul, prequel series, yes. Greenlit in the year of our Lord 2013, same year that Breaking Bad finished. Did not air until 2015, same year that The Force Awakens premiered.
So true. 2 years before you and I became good buddies.
That's true. I thought it was a bad idea. When they announced it, I was like, why are you doing this? It seems like such a bad idea. Now I am rabidly in love with it, and I think everyone should watch it. Meg has seen just this episode.
It's true. I think this episode seems pretty good.
I liked it. We'll obviously dive into it. When I heard it was being pitched, it was like the original pitch for the show sounded bad. It was like there was talks that it was going to be like a half hour like case of the week show with Saul Goodman, and then there was talk that it was going to be like, if Breaking Bad's 30% comedy, 70% drama, this one's going to be 70% comedy, 30% drama. And I was like, oh, I don't want that. And then there was a bunch of weird stuff, but then they were like, it's going to be hour long and it's going to be a lot of drama, and I was like, okay, cool.
Okay, wow.
Yeah,
I feel like if you would have put Jimmy McGill in a night court situation where, you know, it would have not worked as well, right?
Showrunners, Peter Gould and Vince Gilligan. Vince Gilligan, we talk about him a lot. Peter Gould invented the Saul Goodman character. And later on, he becomes the sole showrunner. Vince Gilligan kind of just wanted, it's like when you got on a bike and you got your parent behind you and then you shove them off and then they can ride the bike on their own. So that's what happened.
Cool.
Well, this episode's called Uno, which makes sense.
Because it's the first one?
Yeah. That makes more sense. I thought, okay. Because I was like, Uno's a card game and being a lawyer is not in the cards for Jimmy right now. So I thought I thought that's why it was called Uno. Okay. That makes way more sense your way. No, I think you're right.
That's great. So we get a sense that Albuquerque is a weird place in the early aughts because teens are fucking severed heads.
You get to see a teen fuck a severed head in this episode of television, which is pretty fun.
I think several teens put their dicks in that head.
Yeah, at least you hear it. I wonder if they had to, like, you always hear stories about, like, movies going back and forth the MPAA, and like still not, can't give you an R rating for this, too violent, and then they'll like cut it down. I wonder if there's any more in this ever, and then they were like, you can't put this on cable television, you need to have less.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, they always have done a good job about, you know, cutting away when you don't need to see something. I wonder if they just, you know, I also wonder, I'm having a hard time with sentences right now, but
me and Meg are both hungover, and you should all know that. We should have opened up with that.
I've heard about TV shows like crime dramas getting ideas for crimes that happen in their shows with researchers researching like real crimes that happen in everywhere through the paper and stuff like that. And I wonder if this was like inspired by anything. Like, I wonder if something like this had happened. I don't know.
Let me go to the trivia section of this wiki and see if I know nothing about that.
Okay. Well, then good. I'm glad no teens.
Well, I mean, that doesn't mean it's not true. It's just I can't find it right now. Man. So, sorry, I just got to the viewership section. because at this episode, this show at this point does not get nearly the numbers Breaking Bad gets. Mm-hmm. I bring up that I love it a lot, and they'll be like, "That's still on." But man, this pilot, because everyone was excited, they had no idea what it was, and Breaking Bad had ended only like a year and a half ago. Crushed. So many people watched this pilot. I forgot about that.
Wow.
It was like, what is it? The episode became the highest rated series premiere for a scripted series in U.S. cable history with 6.9 million viewers.
Wow. Fuck. Yeah, I brought up to some people at a party last night, like, oh yeah, now I'm starting a new podcast called Ford's Call Saul. And they're like, oh, I liked Better Call Saul, but I just kind of fell, I liked it, but I just kind of fell off of watching it because there was like big pauses in between. And I felt, this person said, I felt like the beginning of each season was slow. So it's hard to get into it.
This
you know?
Show is significantly slower moving than Breaking Bad. Yeah.
Okay.
But we'll get into that. And that'll be, if you're like, hey, I don't want to watch it, I'm kind of bored, I'll be like, no! And I'll send you a long email that's like, no!
I think I'll just watch it. You don't understand how desperate I am to have things to watch at this point.
Okay.
I've watched a lot of things.
I think I'm finally going to dip my toe into the WandaVision soon.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I mean, it was interesting, but like, it fell apart. All of those.
I
want to
watch the
apart.
Loki, and I can't watch the Loki until I watch the WandaVision.
The Loki falls apart. Like, the Loki
really?
Starts really slow. Yeah. Yeah.
I heard people love the Loki.
I wasn't on board with it for the
interesting.
Most part. Yeah.
Interesting.
I also feel like the main character is an asshole. He just gives off the vibe that he thinks really
Tom
highly
Hiddleston?
Of him. Yeah. He seems really intense.
I mean, he does.
But, yeah.
He dated Taylor Swift. Did you know that?
I knew about that. But she goes through men.
He was really
men.
Into her for a couple days.
Yeah, she goes through men and then mm-hmm. has these big dramatic... Who is she fucking now?
I don't know. I think she's so pretty.
She is very pretty. Good for her for having good looks. Yeah,
she got good cheeks.
Yeah, she got them high cheekbones.
She got high cheekbones. Who Taylor Swift be fucking? Bono.
Bono!
Bono, she's fucking Bono right now. That's interesting.
He's like 68. How old is mm-hmm. he?
I did make that up, just because I wanted to fill time while I was looking. So she's not actually. Holy shit! I mean, her Wikipedia is long.
I can't believe there's just not a website that's who Taylor Swift.
There probably
fucking.
Is.
Okay.
Because like, where is it? Public image. Oh gosh, I can't. Someone tweet at us.
Tell us who you fucking Taylor Swift. Taylor, come
Taylor.
On the show and go through your history of lovers.
Yeah. This episode opens in black and white
it
at
does.
A Cinnabon.
Oh, yeah. I really jumped past that. We get a sense that, I guess, James McGill, formerly... Saul got his dream come true, and now he's a guy named Gene working on a cinema bond in Omaha, which I have always maintained is not far enough away from Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm. You remember him mentioning this, right?
Yeah.
In the vacuum chat. Okay, cool.
Yeah, he says, you know, with any luck, I'm going to be managing a Cinnabon. I thought maybe like a wiener schnitzel, like just throw it on its head, but I don't know why he got exactly what he wanted.
A Cinnabon would be, if I had to manage one food court establishment... It would be a Cinnabon. Everyone seems jolly in there. And, like, no one's going there for, like, lunch. So no one's, like, hangry.
True. What about, like, a Wetzel's Pretzels?
I guess. I guess that's cool because they have salty and sweet stuff there. Like, you can get, like, a cinnamon sugar pretzel.
You get lemonade.
Yeah. He's made a Cinnabon and he's like, let's listen to an old sad song. While I manage this Cinnabon.
I kind of want to look up. I wish my mic wasn't on my keyboard because I'm really curious about how much a manager at a Cinnabon makes.
I mean, we have the power. Let's find out.
You do. You're less encumbered than I am.
What should I Google?
Average salary manager Cinnabon.
Average salary for cinematographer, no. Bon manager. Okay. Do you want to do an over-under with me?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's a big window.
Okay. I feel like it's anywhere between 30,000 and 70,000.
Yeah. Your window is actually almost exactly within the bounds of what Glassdoor's giving me. It's 26K to 64K.
Whoa, only 26K to be a manager of a place like that? That's crazy.
I'm assuming
only $13 an hour.
Yeah. Cinnabon salaries. How much does Cinnabon pay? Let's find out on Indeed.com. Crew member, $10.74 per hour. Shift leader, $12.48, but assistant manager can make $15.03.
So a manager.
The bakery manager can make an average of $40,000 a year.
So I'm wondering, Omaha, I'm wondering, like, mid-aughts, he's probably got some money socked away, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, a little bit.
I think you could handle Omaha at 45 to 50K easy. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean.
Right?
Yeah, probably.
The place we see him at, so we see him go through the rigmarole of his day, and he's clearly very depressed, and he's aged, mm-hmm. and he doesn't look great. And, mm-hmm. And then he's like, sees like a big brawny beefcake of a man hard looks.
He's a hard man.
And he gets up and, you know, Saul's like, this is it. It's time for the Lord to take me. And the guy just goes and sees a pretty lady and talks to her.
Which they do the exact same thing in Rabid Dog, where Jesse thinks Walter like sent a goon after him.
Yeah.
And it turns out the guy was just like looking at his kid.
Yeah, like, just, you know, doing a custody exchange in the town square or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and then he goes home and he's like, do you know what sounds good? Some videotape.
And some Drambuie and wine, lemon juice. I don't even know what Drambuie is supposed to taste like. It's like
and he watches his old commercials and he cries.
What type of liquor is Drambuie? Can you look that up on the horn?
I got you covered, Meg.
Thank you.
How do you spell Drambuie?
Drambuie, Drambuie.
Ooh, okay. Thank you, autofill. It's a liqueur.
Ooh.
And it is a golden-colored 40% ABV liqueur made from Scotch whiskey, heather, honey, herbs, and spices.
I don't want to drink it.
Is that enough info?
Yeah. My dad uses it like as a punchline to a joke. I think because he just likes how it feels in his mouth to say Drambuie.
Oh,
Yeah. And then he's like, well, this sucks. I hate looking at the fact that it's... Also, his place is nice. Like, that building...
His place is really nice. Airbnb that and make a lot of money.
That doesn't look like a bad place. I'm not sure, like... I guess you're just supposed to feel sad for him because he feels sad. Because I don't think...
That place is Omaha poor.
That's Omaha?
Because there's so much space in Omaha. I don't know. I always get upset by how much space you can get in other places. I live in a box.
I live in a box as well. But I don't think that place, like, it's not run down. He's clearly safe from the elements. Like, he's got his Drambuie. He's got other rooms than just that one. It's not like he's Barry in the pilot of Barry. You know what I mean?
That's true. Fair.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just like... Seems like you could make the most of your new life, dude. You know, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fair. Like I'd get like a poker group.
Yeah, or I would just go and take up swimming because that's what I'm like. He doesn't have to be there. He could be like, I go to Great Wolf Lodge every weekend and I go on the water sites all by myself. Like he's got a whole new lease on life. He doesn't have to sit there and drink and be sad.
I think he gets off on the hustle. And marketing himself, which is a bone I don't have, and I wish I did. And he's like, the one thing I cannot do is draw a bunch of attention to myself, which is the one thing I love so much.
That's true. I didn't really think about it like that. But I still feel like he could have... He's making his reality here. That's all.
Oh, that's fair. But then... Oh, it was astounding Technicolor. It's not black and white anymore. It's very... Oh, wait, did you like the new theme song? The Better Call Saul themes?
Yeah,
that's incorporated in our podcast theme song. We haven't heard it yet, but you listeners have, because it hasn't been made yet. But, yeah, it's cool. Do you like how it, like, cuts off at the end?
Yeah. I have no qualms with how the intro behaves as an intro.
Okay.
Yes.
Tight. All right. Yeah, then we go to a courtroom. It's a shitty-ass courtroom.
Yeah, I think I mentioned to you the first time we watched this, because we tried to watch it one time, and then...
Yeah, we've watched this twice.
Yeah. Then 2 weeks went by, and we tried again.
And we were like, we gotta watch it again.
Yeah, we gotta do it.
Bob Odenkirk almost died, so we can't record about it, and then more time went by.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, Meg, what did you say? I remember
I was like, hey, I've been in a lot of these types of courtrooms for various legal reasons. This is traumatic, and you said, buckle up, sister, you're in these a lot.
There's a lot of these courtrooms.
Yeah. So,
I mean, two of our major characters work in this building.
Yes. Well, I've only seen one, right?
You've seen Mike.
Mike can get out of the house? Oh, Mike. I'm sorry. I thought I get confused. Because his name's Michael McKean. This is going to be a whole Jesse thing again, isn't it?
Oh, right. Yeah, we got new cast members we haven't even introduced yet.
Yeah.
So far, we just talked about the established gang.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you know, there's a courtroom. Everybody's waiting. There's some pimply boys. They look like they're in trouble. And finally, you know, the bailiff goes and tracks down Saul, who's like practicing his defense in the mirror. They have everything very, I mean, they obviously just recorded this or filmed this in a courthouse, but you know, it was very like, God.
Yeah.
Ah.
This scene and one other one we'll get to, I think, are two of the best directed scenes in the show. I love this scene.
Really?
Just the use of silence at the beginning. And while the courtroom's waiting, and then he busts in and does his whole thing, and then no one says a word for the counter argument when they just play the video.
Yeah.
I love this scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. They fucked a corpse. That's what happened. That's what these boys did, and that's why they're on trial.
I think the dialogue of the boys going through this process is bad. So
like on the video?
Yeah. The senator is barking. Going crazy.
Why don't you let her in there?
No. Because she's too much of a pain in the ass, and then the whole podcast is just going to be like, stop it, no, and she'd probably fuck up the computer.
That's fair.
But yeah, like they say, like, where's all the blood? They drain it out, dumbass. Where do they go? Where does it go? Like, I don't know. They just like, do you call people dumbass? Do you talk to your friends that way?
I do say dipshit a lot.
I say dipshit a lot, so they should have used that.
All right, dipshit, yeah.
Come on.
They should have used that. I mean, in 2002, though, dumbass was in vogue.
Oh, because of that show Jackass, right?
Yeah, Jackass was big. They're like, just like Johnny Knoxville, our
hero. He stuff, and we'll do it.
Yeah. You just like Steve-O. What a bright future he has.
Yep, and then they focus.
Oh, yeah, this takes place in 2002, which we learned from the wiki.
In 2002, I was not having sex.
I was 12. It would have been pretty illegal for anyone to have sex with me.
Unless another 12-year-old, I guess.
Is that legal? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was May 2002, which means we were all ready for Attack of the Clones.
Oh, yeah, we were.
Yeah.
And
we were like, that Phantom Menace was just a blip. We're going to really right the ship with this one.
Wow. I was a freshman in high school.
Yeah. This Hayden Christensen is hot.
He always looked really like he needed a shower to me.
Yeah, he does look like he has a sheen.
He doesn't really have non-greasy hair. I don't know. I've never seen it not look greasy. So Hayden, get on that, I guess.
Hayden Christensen, listen. We like to bitch about Star Wars on our Breaking Bad podcast, and that's not going to stop here.
We don't really have a vested interest in the quality of the prequels, but we know they are bad.
It does make more sense that we would bitch about the prequels on the prequel show podcast.
That would make, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I once went out with somebody who was talking about how when they reflect on Star Wars, because they grew up at a certain time, they always like refer back to the prequels as like, that was their original Star Wars experience instead of the originals. And I was like,
yeah,
wow,
you kind of see that now.
That's weird. Yeah. Isn't that a strange?
I mean, I was that age.
Back.
I mean, I still don't. I mean, I've been on the record. I think there are very few good Star Wars movies. And even the ones that are quote unquote great are fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember when we saw The Rise of Skywalker and everyone laughed at the big moment at the end?
Yeah, I remember you were talking, like apologizing to me through a lot of that movie because there was like stuff I couldn't put on, like look at.
Because it was there's flashing lights.
Yeah, there was like strobes were heavily in the end of it was so bizarre.
Yeah. You didn't miss much.
Yeah, and then that big moment. And I think people, like, there's literally someone in the audience that went, what? Like,
yeah. Ugh, it was a bad movie. We should watch that again.
All right, yeah. I remember getting those tickets, like, this will be a fun thing for me and Adam to do, like, in October.
It was a fun thing for me and Adam to do, but it just wasn't a good... We knew going in, like, yeah. the buzz had died yeah. when we saw it.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. Good for us. Good for us for doing things together right before yeah. we couldn't. We didn't know it at the time, but we were about to not be able to do stuff at all.
Sure weren't.
Yeah.
Yep. We got to see Knives Out 2 in theaters together. That's probably got to be.
I bet it's going straight to, like, Netflix.
I'll make the trip if there's a screening of some kind. If I have a job.
I cannot wait because I just want more of that Daniel Craig accent.
Me too. I can't do the voice.
Stop.
I'm sad that Chris Evans probably won't be in it, but
probably not.
Fine.
Yeah, but I also I was hearing about the other people. Who the fuck else is going to be in it? Like
everyone
Norton?
Ever in a movie is in Knives Out too.
Yeah, because there's a
we've talked about it on this very podcast. Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis is in the first one, right?
Yeah, yeah. She plays like the matriarch.
I need to rewatch that because now I've seen all the Halloween movies and I have a higher appreciation for her.
I think she's very talented. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Jimmy's sad. He only gets $700 for depending.
Yeah, because they got
three boys.
Sorry.
I said two boys, and I meant to say three boys.
Oh, yeah, because they fucked ahead and they got found guilty of it.
Yeah.
And then Jimmy goes and he's like, ah, shucks. And as he's going to leave, he gets a phone call on his very old cell phone and pretends to be a British person who's taking reception for his fictitious law firm. And he makes arrangements to meet the booby snatchers. What are they called? What's their last name?
The Kettlemans.
Yeah, there it is. That's close enough.
Is there a type of vodka called Kettleman? Or Kettle One. That's
it's Kettle One, yeah.
Yeah. But before he goes, we see Mike. He drives away, and Mike's a real stickler for rules.
Yeah, I guess, you know, if I had to guess, it seems as though Mike's origin story as, you know, his relationship with Saul, or Jimmy, like, develops here. But it seems like, was he closer to Gus, or was he closer to Saul in Breaking Bad?
He was definitely closer to Gus on Breaking Bad, and we'll see some of that.
Okay, so, but it
is what I'll say.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Tight.
I do wish they would have, like, really younged Mike up, like, gave him a black wig.
Oh,
so, like, he's younger.
And he has, like, a Hawaiian shirt on. That would be super cool. Or, like, what, like, an Ed Hardy shirt or some shit
yeah.
like that.
Yep. He's got a shirt that says, it's happy hour somewhere.
5 o'clock somewhere. Tommy Bahama shirt. He's wearing Tevas and drinking, I don't know, iced coffee. That's what cool young people drink, right?
Yeah. It just like Mike's, it, like canonically, it would be fun if Mike was in his late 20s.
Even though it's just been a couple years.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh, in Breaking Bad, he's actually supposed to be late 30s. He just like, life was real ragged on this man.
That's wild.
Jimmy. It's weird. It's weird calling Jimmy. Are you used to that?
No, I'm not used to it yet. I want to call him Saul. And I want to call him Bob. And I want him to call me Meg. And I want to give him kisses.
Yeah, I know. I want to kiss him, too. Yeah. Especially when his little heart hurt. I wanted to kiss him on the forehead.
Yeah, go, oh, it's okay. No, don't get up. Just because of me.
Just rest, poor boy.
Yeah.
That was crazy. Everyone tweeted about that.
I didn't realize how many people... Because... Like 10 years ago when I talked about how much I loved Bob Odenkirk, people were like, who? You know?
Yeah.
He was just very much like a fixture in comedy and comedy nerds, and now he's a name.
I think he's reached Tom Hanks level of famously nice guy, too.
That's good to know.
Like, famous, like one of the ones, if they had like a sex scandal, would be like, oh man, like it really hurt.
Yeah.
Like he's a pervy weirdo? Oh no.
He's got a really handsome son, I found out throughout all of this. You should check that out.
I did see him. He was very handsome.
Yeah, he was a hot.
I mean, his son is a very handsome dad.
Yeah, that's true. God damn. Good for him.
Speaking of handsome, Mrs. Kettleman is pretty handsome at the diner where they meet.
Yeah.
I think Mrs. Kettleman's cute, but she looks like she's clearly supposed to be like a little standoffish.
Yeah, she's supposed to be kind of a domineering woman. Mm-hmm. Her husband is accused of embezzling money as the county secretary or treasurer or some shit like that. And
he nailed it.
And he and Jimmy wants to convince them to hire him for his counsel to represent him in that case. They decide not to right that moment.
One of my favorite lines, it's later, but I don't want to forget it. And when they're scoping out the Kettleman house, and he's like, nice yacht, subtle, like a stripper pole in a mosque. Yeah. So good.
He's
so
always, good. Even in Breaking Bad, he had the best lines. And one of them that I always use now is that I feel like I brought it up on Mike before. It was when he, as Saul, says, like, some people are immune to good advice, when Jesse won't stop trying to smoke weed before he gets shipped out by Forrest Whitaker. And I say that sometimes because I don't know. It's there's something about it that resonates with me.
Yeah. It's a good saying. He also says ass over tea kettle, which is something I like to say a lot.
And he also said suffering Saint Sebastian, which is just,
I don't even remember
fun
that
alliteration. He says it right over ass over tea kettle. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was so excited for ass over tea kettle, I totally missed it. Anyway, yeah, he embezzled $1.6 million, and they're like, there's no, he's like, you need a lawyer. And like, do we need a lawyer? And like, yeah, you should get a lawyer. And then he's driving, and he says his credit card's getting declined.
Yeah.
And skateboarders run in front of his car.
Yeah. And he's like, oh no, I hit some poor men who probably shouldn't be skateboarding anymore, especially not this level of like street tricks. I don't get it. He hit them. What?
I think they're 22, and I think that's an appropriate age. Me and Meg had words about this.
I don't know. Anyways, 22, I was getting out of college and making a baby. You, at 22, were getting out of college and doing temp work. Like,
no, I was skateboarding in front of cars to get money.
Okay. Anyhow, he hits one of these fucks, and they try to hustle him. And even the first time we watched this, I went, he's getting scammed. And you went,
did you go like, oh, when they hit the car?
I was surprised, I guess.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's a big noise, you know?
Yeah, it's scary. Jumps at you.
I don't like the big noises.
I get so scared. I freak out whenever my car like hits a curb, let alone a human.
I'm like, stupid, stupid, stupid. That's what I say every single time. Then he knows he's getting scammed, so he goes, get out of here, Vamoose. I'm clearly broke. What are you doing? Get out of here. And they go, ooh, and they run away.
Oh, this has one of my favorite lines too. The only way that car's worth $500 is if there's a $300 hooker sitting in it.
Mm-hmm. That is
great,
a good
line.
One. Yeah.
Well, let's raise that one to the rafters. Good line.
And then after that, he goes and he goes to the Hamlin and McGill place, right? Or no? What happens?
There's a quick scene at the nail salon where we see his shitty office, and he gets a check for $26,000 and he rips it up, and we're like, what's this? And then he goes to the Hamlin McGill.
$26,000 in early 2000s money is like $41,000 now.
Do you want to do an over-under on that? You want to try to...
I think it's about 40, 41.
Would... 26,000 in 2002 be today. What was your guess?
Like 40, 41.
Wow, Meg, you were very good at this. $39,266.79.
Wow, could you imagine?
Incredibly close.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Fuck. Anyways.
A wow, wow, wee, wow. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So think of, like, if you made 50 grand then, or even if you made a, like, it's crazy.
Lawyers make a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why they're awful. But, yeah, and then he goes to Hamlin McGill. This is that other scene that I think is one of the best directed scenes, because you see the trash can has a little dent on it, and you're like, why is he looking at that? And then after the big meeting, he kicks the trash can, and you're like, oh, this happens
a lot. He's always frustrated when he comes here.
And then it backs off, and, well, I guess we could go through the whole thing. He walks up into this place, and he's, like, all charming.
But nobody has any fucking time for it. They don't like him, you know?
No one likes him. How about you wait over there? How about I don't? So great.
He bursts into the room, and when we first watched this, I was like, it's from that newsroom movie.
Network,
yeah. And you were like, what? And
I've never seen Network.
Yeah, it's a masterpiece. You should probably watch it.
Is it better than the Rise of Skywalker?
It's subjective. Like, it's everybody's own experience. But yes, it's better than that.
Is it a 1976 American satirical black comedy drama?
Yes.
Okay.
So he pulls, you know, it's like, you'll just watch it. Anybody who's listening to it has probably seen it because they probably went to film school.
Seen Network? Yeah, we do have a bunch of film buffs who listen to this podcast.
Do we really, though?
I don't fucking know.
Okay.
You got a bunch of knuckleheads who listen to this podcast. That's true. That's who you are.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is, I remember being really confused by this scene when I first watched it.
Because of what he's doing or what?
Well, because he gives a $26,000 and you hear about Chuck and we're like, who the fuck's Chuck? Because I didn't know when I first watched it. And I guess the pertinent bits of information is they're still paying this Chuck guy, like he still works there. And Jimmy's like, dude, he's like incapacitated. He doesn't work here. You need to pay him out completely. And they're like, no. And that's the deal.
That's that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we've got a grade A piece of meat there, a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Mr. Sunshine.
Yeah, you don't really know her name yet.
Oh, I was talking about that hunky boy.
Oh, the man?
What's his name?
Howard Hamlin is his name on the show. He was on Saved by the Bell the college years. Oh, this is where I know him from.
Good for him.
He played a teacher.
Well, he's a hunk.
Yeah, he seems cool.
Yeah.
He seems kind of like a jerk in this.
Yeah, he does, but I don't gotta like him to like him, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true. I've been told by every woman who's seen the show that he's a hunk. I don't get it.
He's got a big, strong base. You know, he Bob knows Odenkirk, how to I get. Treat a woman.
Bob Odenkirk, I get. I don't get this guy.
Well, this guy is, you know, very even keel, and he's like, hey, just stop being an asshole and just let us pay you. And he's like, no, I don't want to. And then he goes to leave and he kicks the garbage can again. And then the blonde lady Kim or something is there.
Smoking lady.
It is a new smoking lady.
It is a new smoking lady. It's not your granddad's smoking lady.
No, this lady, she's smoking. And he like goes and he like takes the cigarette out of her mouth. It's a little sexy.
It was a little sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to feel about there. What do you think's going on there?
I think they've got like a real will they, won't they?
Oh, we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, like he didn't like just then go like, I don't think when he goes, I don't think it was going to be like, let me go down on you here in this parking lot. Doesn't seem like they're sexually involved yet. It seems like they might be friends that want to have sex with each other.
Maybe. I do like how she, when he's all bummed out and still in the garage, she like, very just puts the trash can back together
and goes back upstairs. Yeah
I like that whole scene. That whole scene's so good. I like how it zooms out and she's standing there and she's smoking. I think she's so pretty. I think this girl's so fucking pretty. Important thing is quickly the Kettlemans are there and that's why Jimmy's upset.
Yes,
the Kettlemans are reaching out to this place called Hamlin McGill.
Yes,
this law firm. Yeah.
So then Jimmy goes to Chuck's house.
Yeah. The sexy Michael McKean.
Yeah, okay. So let's just break this down real quick. Michael McKean is an older man now, but I have a deep affinity for how he looked in the movie Clue, which was impeccable. Pretty much just anything you'd want in a nerdy, clunky, lanky guy. Very good glasses, very good hair, and his voice is really nice. Here, he doesn't so much look like Mr. Green in the movie Clue, but I still, I can't let it go. I can't.
I have not seen This is Spinal Tap all the way through, but I have Googled a few of his scenes, and he's quite strapping in that, too.
Yeah, he was a good-looking guy.
Yeah. Good-looking guy. Fun guy. He seems fun.
He does. He seems decent, and I remember, this is a very pointless story, but back in the day, I followed him on Twitter, like a long time ago, and one of the things he shared was a video of a baby getting a cochlear implant turned on for the first time. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, it's to help you hear. Yeah. I don't know much about it.
So this 4-month-old, 5-month-old baby hears his mother's voice for the first time, and it was very sweet. And I think I was pregnant when he shared that and I saw it, and it was incredible. Michael McKean, good job using the internet. Good job being hot when you were younger. Good job being the Silver Fox now. Good job mm-hmm. all around. Thank you for yep. being cool.
Great. We love you.
Yep.
But let's talk about Chuck, though.
And he's...
Chuck Steele.
He's got what I've heard of is like people seem to think that like exposure to electromagnetic radiation makes them ill, right?
Yeah. I'll just read this straight off the wiki. Jimmy visits Chuck, who believes himself to be suffering from electromagnetic hypersensitivity. So all the lights aren't there, and you got to take your watch off and cell phone and leave it in the mailbox, and you have to ground yourself.
Yes.
So, you know. And he's got a bunch of hot dogs in a cooler. It's bacon.
Yeah, but it's also like bacon and other stuff. So, yeah, very mm-hmm. soon to get ill. This is the Chuck mentioned at Hamlin, Hamlin, and McGill. Clearly, he can't go into a work environment because it's just piping with electromagnetic energy.
Mm-hmm.
And
we kind of learned that Chuck doesn't want the payout. He's fine with just the stipend that they keep sending him, the $26,000.
Yeah.
But he's like, I'm going to get better.
Yes.
I'm going to get better. God damn it. And then he's like, don't use your fucking name for your law practice.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Go by Gibraltar or something.
Gibraltar Law.
I was like, why not? I guess I understand why he goes by Saul Goodman later. He leaves and he goes, and finds the skateboardy boys and concocts mm-hmm. a plan to, mm-hmm. Swindle Betsy Kettleman into, hiring his services by becoming like a hero. He tells these skatey boys about how he, used to slip and fall all the time.
Slippin' Jimmy! And you got real excited when you found out it was in Cicero, Illinois.
I was born in the town right next to Cicero, Berwyn. The border's
fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that was pretty cool. Also, he's from that area as well, so it's pretty cool that, like...
Bob is?
Yeah, that they would choose. Cool. He, like, grew up in Naperville. We went to a lot of the same colleges, and...
Tight.
I'm just very excited. Whenever they like give a shout out to that area of the world, I'm excited, you know?
That's fun. We like the Midwest.
Yes, we do. But just for visits, not just for visits. Always.
We're not coming back.
Mom and Dad.
Yeah, guys.
Yeah.
They're not listening. Do your parents listen to this podcast?
Probably not.
They listened to like the first handful.
Yeah, and then they said I don't have a good voice. And they stopped. My mom said that to me over a dinner.
Jeez.
And that we didn't talk about the TV show enough. And I was like,
okay, we talk about the TV. If we only talked about the TV show, this would be like 10 minutes.
Yeah, they got to calm down. Absolutely.
They got it. You all need to calm down.
Jan, calm down.
And also the rest of you, calm down a little bit.
Yeah, everyone else, calm the fuck down.
Yeah, calm the fuck down.
So he concocts this plan with them. He's, a pro at taking a fall, and he wants to help make these boys some money by also making himself some money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's gonna be like, hey, you get hit by Betsy Kettleman, and then I, like, get you off, and then she'll have to pick me as her lawyer, because I did such a nice thing.
He said, get
and
them
then,
off.
I did say get them off. Why did I do that?
I don't know, but it was cool. Because then for a little bit, I just imagined like this guy just beating off these two boys, these two mm-hmm. men in the street while Betsy Kettleman's like, go on. Yes, I want to hire.
Get them off. Yeah. Get them off.
Then I'll hire your services. Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Jerking off two men.
Same like
thing
a
to
plan.
Do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now... the boys are getting ready, and he's mm-hmm. waiting for Betsy to go pick up her kids, and the plan is in motion, and guess what happens?
They get hit by a car, but the car drives off.
And so they do that thing from Back to the Future where they grab onto. What do they call this? Skiffing or something like that?
Is that a thing called skiffing?
Skiffing, I think, or something skimming or scrumming. It's something with.
Isn't that where you put like a rod down your urethra?
No.
That's sounding.
What?
There's a thing where you put it like boys. Some boys like it where they put like a rod down your urethra.
No.
Okay. Well.
That's not what I'm talking about here. Scrimming, okay. Something like this where you scrumming.
I'm gonna Google scrumming, and if it's about urethras, I'm gonna be real upset. What? Form or take part in a scrum. Jostle crowd. Everyone was scrumming around them.
Oh, well, you know what a scrum is? You'll have to get used to this. Is like a tech, like 10-minute meeting every morning. They call it a scrum call. What? Yeah. There's a name for what they're doing, and I don't know it off the top of my head, but
well, we're going to find out. I have the power. I pay my Google bill so that I have access to it whenever I want. Hold on. Term for ride. We've been doing a lot of Googling this episode.
You truly
and
have, yeah.
I must say, it's good. It's good content. Riding skateboard while holding a car. Skitching.
What is it?
Skitching.
Skitching. So I wasn't that far off.
You weren't that far off. guys, they be skitching.
Yeah, they're skitching, and and they follow this car to this, you know, suburban kind of middle class home. And you know who comes out of a car? Little Hispanic lady.
It has to be Betsy Kettleman,
it's
right?
Not, it's,
oh, it's not?
It's a little Hispanic woman who's like, I think my favorite line read of the whole episode, because you often point it out, is when she goes, Dinero! And I just love how she says it.
And that's Spanish for money, I believe,
she
right?
was actually just talking about Robert De Niro.
Oh, De Niro! Godfather 2?
All right, come inside.
All right, we'll talk De Niro all day. Yeah. Would in Spanish-speaking countries, if you became God Emperor of the world, would you make it so they have to put Robert De Niro on all their money?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%,
okay, yeah.
You know,
I'd do that too.
Yeah,
and then boy, oh, that'd be so fun.
People, Robert, they like that guy so much.
Everyone likes that guy.
Yeah,
he said "fuck Trump" at like the Oscars or whatever.
Good for him.
Yeah, he said this. He stood up to the man.
Good job.
And then Trump's like, he's overrated.
He did the same thing to the women's soccer team because they won silver or bronze or whatever.
Yeah, and he's like, good.
It's like, this is the president of the United States criticizing Olympians. Like, why is this happening?
Well, because he's got, I don't know, he would kick their ass at soccer if he played because he's such a prime specimen.
He is. He's very athletic in all ways.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's, man. I do hope he grows a beard, though.
I don't think he can.
I think he can.
I don't think so.
I'd like to see him with a beard.
We never saw him even a little bit with...
I'd like to see a beard and a bowl cut.
A beard and a bowl cut?
From that man. Next time we see him, when he's running for president again.
I'm troubled. I don't actually think he can grow facial hair. I think he's one of those guys who can't.
Really?
Yeah.
His sons do it.
I think that's fake. I think it looks fake.
All right.
I kind of love. I'm gonna go down this path. I had an ex-boyfriend who was like very good at growing facial hair, but I had a different ex and he was bad at it, and I could tell it bothered him. And I was kind of and now that I know what it's like when you get like when you have a man who's like good at growing facial hair, I kind of love that bothered him. Because I'm I'm vindictive and awful.
Is the one who can grow the facial hair the one I know pretty well?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He was good at it.
He was real good at growing facial hair. Good mustache.
Yeah, he did have a good stash.
I wish I could grow. I can't grow facial hair.
You can't.
It doesn't really make me. No. It. I mean, I can't. I literally just shaved before we got on, hell. But it's. Not because I had like a big bushy sailor's beard. It's like it just starts looking real puby, and so then I have to cut it off. I wish I could grow. I have an okay 5 o'clock shadow, and then it turns into something monstrous pretty fast.
Well, mm-hmm. that's a pity. I'm sorry.
It's no good.
Anyhow, they go and they confront this lady and she's like, come inside. And then Jimmy tries to find them. And when he does locate the house, he knocks on the door. And you know who answers?
Betsy Kettleman.
No, it's not. It's Tuco.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. He's dead, though.
I know. No, but here he's alive. And I think on less drugs. It seems like he's just pure rage and not as much insanity.
That's fun. So this is kind of fun because now I could be like, what do you think's going to happen? Because we couldn't do that before. Because you knew it was going to happen.
I think what's going to happen... So he calls her Biznatch and that really bothers him, right? Or something like that?
Wait, what? When did he call her Biznatch?
Wait, okay. No.
That happens next episode. What are you doing? What are you watching?
I woke up in the middle. I fell asleep with this on and I woke up in the middle of it and I turned it off.
Today?
No, like last week.
Yeah, that does happen. God damn it.
I'm sorry. That's all I've got. That's all I've got.
Okay.
So that, I know they go inside and I know it's a problem, right? That's where I go at the end of it. I don't know what else happens.
Okay. Okay. So you've watched this 3 times?
Yeah. It's like comfort food when I like watch something.
It's a good show.
It's a good show, but like also I know what's going to happen in the episode. So I like, it's okay to have on in the background. I don't know. Have you heard that's like a thing anxious people do sometimes?
I put Forrest Gump on a lot and I haven't actually watched it in years.
I just watched a documentary about, or I don't know, it's called The Movies That Made Us, and they did one on Forrest Gump, and apparently that book is terrible that it's based off of.
Yeah, it seems awful.
Yeah. Could you
And then they made a second book, and then they were going to make a second movie, and then 9/11 happened.
Is that right?
Yeah, he literally turned it in September 10th, 2001, the scriptwriter for Forrest Gump 2.
Oh my god.
And then they're like, the world's different.
Yeah, we can't have
this. Script is dated.
I heard that the main character was supposed to be like a 300-pound idiot savant who was like good at playing the piano or something like that. I don't know.
The book's very different from what I've heard. And I have no interest in reading it, really.
Yeah. But no, I rewatch like Knives. I haven't done it in a couple months, but I rewatch Knives Out a lot, too.
Oh, I haven't seen that since our foray into the theater.
That was our last time. That was our very last time, mm-hmm. I think.
Last time I saw a movie was Tenet.
Oh,
close to a year ago.
I haven't seen anything in the theater. I haven't.
My dad goes to movies all the time. He's like, I made a movie.
My parents do too. And I go, guys.
I would go. They're vaccinated. I have no issue. I would go. But I just like, after a year and a half of not going to movie theaters, it's like doesn't even pop in my brain as like an activity anymore.
I feel like it would be a hassle. I don't know. It just doesn't.
I want to see The Suicide Squad.
I'll probably just watch that in a minute, like on my TV.
Yeah, I know, but I want to see it with a bunch of people and go lean over to a stranger and go, wasn't that fun?
And they go, get away from me.
Yeah, get
Delta
away.
And Lambda. Delta and Lambda. Yeah.
Should we spit in the face of the Delta variant right now on mic before we know how fully bad it is? And then
it seems like it's pretty bad.
Get hoisted by our own petard once again?
Sure, yeah. This Delta variant...
This Delta variant, stop freaking out. Okay, no.
Yeah, I don't want to get another lockdown. Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, Tuco's there, and we don't see... Well, Meg knows what happens in the first 5 minutes, I guess. They call her a biznatch, and Tuco doesn't like that. We'll talk about that more next week.
But yeah, I mean, we know that... he has a gun right in his face, right? When he opens the door. So it seems like...
In Jimmy's face, yeah.
He means business and he's pissed.
I mean, it's Tuco.
Yeah, but he doesn't seem like as on drugs, right? Like, I don't know. I guess he just seems crazy. Yeah. Just threatening.
We'll talk about it. We'll get to it. What a grade... Do you give this episode?
The grading system is strange here. Like, it seems like a good pilot.
Okay.
It's not really a self-contained adventure, kind of like the original pilot was for Breaking Bad, but are we not really comparing here?
So, yeah, I actually have issues with that sometimes, because I love this. I'd give this episode an A, but I was upset a little bit immediately the fact that you really can't watch this first, because this cliffhanger means nothing unless you've seen a totally other show.
Oh, yeah.
Because, and I thought, maybe, someday, I would love to watch Better Call Saul first with someone and see if they still like it. But even after this first episode, it's, between the flash forward and then the cliffhanger ending, you really, to get the most out of it, you have to have watched another piece of content.
Yeah. I think I thought it was a good standalone pilot, I guess. But, yeah, I think it's, a B+ for me.
Okay. We don't have The Ringer anymore because not all the episodes are out, so we can't rank them.
Oh, yeah.
So let's try this. Donna Bowman at the AV Club rates each episode on a F to A+ scale.
Okay.
Do you want to try to guess what Donna thinks of each episode?
Does she do pluses and minuses for every...
She does pluses and minuses,
for every grade level? I think she probably gives this an A-.
Let's find out. I have to click over to it. Sorry, it's season 2. Jesus, Adam. Sorry, guys. Oh, boy. Donna Bowman gives this episode a B+.
Oh, okay. Donna and I were on the
same she's right there with you.
Wavelength, yeah.
Yeah, you and Donna, what if you go 62 for 62 with Donna on this whole show?
I don't put that type of pressure on me. The second I mess up,
you're one for one.
I know. Okay, well, we're going to see. We're going to see.
We're going to see. All right. I'm excited to watch the next one.
Yeah. I don't know any references to this show that resonated through pop culture. So our outro is going to be hard to come up with on the fly.
Oh, because when we didn't have, because we had the Heisenberg thing last time, but we can't really do that anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. What if we go?
I guess the Better Call Saul is
Yeah, but that's so obvious.
It truly is.
A slippery Jimmy to you.
A slipping Jimmy and a fine slipping Jimmy to you,
and a
sir.
Fine slippery Jimmy. Slippery or slipping?
His name's Slippin' Jimmy, right?
Yeah, okay. I didn't know. Yeah, for the outro, I didn't know if you wanted slipping or slippery. They're both fun.
I think it's slipping.
It's slipping? Okay. And a fine.
Or like a...
And slip some Jimmy today.
That sounds you're asking someone.
What's the alcohol that we found? Drambuie?
Yeah, it's Drambuie.
Okay.
And a stiff Drambuie to you.
And a stiff Drambuie to you, good sir. Okay.
Okay, there we go.
Okay. All right. This is actually shorter than I thought it'd be.
Yeah, we got it. Should we get it just right to an hour?
I mean, it's going to, no matter what, we don't really know how much because I have to cut the bits in the beginning where we just talk.
Oh, that's true. We just talk a lot.
I don't know.
Lately.
So let's, we'll do the outro. That sounds good. All right, guys, you're going to love it. the start of a new, please tell your friends.
You got to let people know about us because one, we're incredibly hot. Two,
our faces are in your feed now. You can see us.
Yeah. You know what we look like. It's, I mean, for better or worse, you know what we look like. So there's that connection now as well. Just please tell everybody how hot we are.
Tell everyone how hot we are and,
naturally charming and entertaining.
Get yourself off first, you know.
Yeah. Take care of yourself.
Take care of yourself. Pump one out.
And then look at both of us if you want to. We're not jealous.
Yeah. Oh,
people.
Please do. Yeah. Please do.
Yes.
And then once you're whew, and had a cigarette, then go tell your friends to do the same thing.
Yes. All right. So until next time.
I already forgot. Until next time.
Very stiff Drambuie to you.
A very stiff Drambuie to you. Good sir.
Bye.
Bye.
Just a podcast. Podcast. This is a podcast. 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 Podcast.